Today's show, we're going to be talking with a DACA recipient, an artist, and entrepreneur. Also, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.
It's Mauricio Mejia live. Entertainment guru, Silicon Valley entrepreneur, author, and speaker. It's Mauricio Mejia live.
Welcome back. We are here, Mauricio Mejia live, from Studio B in downtown San Jose, heart of Silicon Valley. And today we got a special guest straight from the east side, right? Or,
San Jose.
Here we go.
It's
all over the place, but it's Luna, Luis, a.k.a. Chuy, or no, not Chuy.
No, Huicho.
Huicho. They're fucking it up already, my guest. Bro, interview's over already, doc. Hey, man, welcome to the show.
No, I'm excited to do it and show what we have. And yeah, I mean, it's four of us with the store, Spirit Brothers.
Well, you guys are a big part of the community.
Yeah.
San Jose, when you think of downtown right now, in the recent years, Tostadas has made a big impact in the downtown San Jose. And then all of a sudden they started popping up in different areas. We're like, damn. And then they really blew up. But there's a whole story behind all of this, and we'll go down and in order. But you know, again, I want to say thank you, man. You got an amazing story behind from what has been shared, and then, you know, obviously what we're going to talk about and dive into. But let's talk about, you know, you starting in 1993 back in San Jose, East San Jose. Tell us where does the story begin with you?
I think everything begins from the point that my dad brought us over here, because I was born in Guadalajara.
All right.
And then from there, in 1993 is when I fell in love with the art. But before all that, my dad, like I said, like everybody, like como todo inmigrante, they want to be in a place to have something to their family.
Yeah.
So the first time I was here in San Jose, it was when I was 2 years old. I have a picture at the Capitol Park. I'm wearing diapers and having my comida, uh-huh. You know, and I seen that picture, and I'm like, so basically I the first day I was here in San Jose was when I was 2 years old. But throughout those years, we went back and forth. My dad, like, he didn't know where to stay. But in 1993 was the day that I was in Gospel. I think it was the Gospel right there on the east side. And I don't know. I was just playing with my cousins right there near Fisher. I mean, it's Fisher okay. School. And I seen my uncle, he was outside just drawing, and I was just going out trying to play with my cousin, and I stopped and I looked at the paper, and the only thing I seen was just shades of color of the pencil lines. Okay. I think I remember it was like flowers and roses. And then from there, I was like, man, that looks so cool. Maybe one day I'm going to start doing that. So I just went by through my day, and I started playing. Then that stayed in my head.
Got
and then
it.
From there, I mean, it was just keep drawing and drawing.
Talk to us about Guadalajara. I mean, that's a great city, right?
Yeah.
I mean, today it's you know, Guadalajara is supposed to be the Silicon Valley version in Mexico, right?
I think the three biggest cities in Mexico, I think it's Ciudad de Mexico or DF.
Right.
And I think it's the next one is Monterrey,
okay.
And then Guadalajara.
Okay.
And then from there, I mean, I can't remember the other ones, but
yeah.
I think Guadalajara is the second or third biggest city in Mexico. I don't know how much population, but I mean, it's a big city.
Yeah.
My dad,
what do your parents do? When you say right for the first part of it, I've only heard dad. Where's mom in the picture?
Oh,
here?
My mom.
Yeah.
Well, my mom.
Normally, the mom is a whippercracker here. So
it's just that
we got to give her some credit right now.
Yeah,
so
my
you know?
Dad is the one that was. You know what? We're gonna go para los Estados Unidos.
Right.
Bacan y vámonos.
Vámonos.
A la barda y escondernos en una van y pasar.
Fucking let's go. Do what we got to do, right?
But I think my mom also has a big part in my life. And she's the one that right now helps me carry some stuff that I do custom made for my store.
Okay.
And she's the one that's like doing all the things. Like we do custom hats with Sarape, like the one I have.
Okay.
So I figure out the idea. I try to see what I can do with the hats. And my mom, she was like, oh, yo te ayudo. And then from there, she started doing this. She started doing custom Sarape hoodies and other stuff.
Bro, where's that? So you guys come out here and You 1993, for some reason, that just keeps, that's a year of establishment. How old are you in 1993?
I was 10. Imagine 10 how many old. Years I have right now.
Damn.
30 years of experience of art, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, 1993.
I was born in 83, so I was like 10 years old.
Yeah.
And like I said, I was born in Guadalajara. My dad brought us over here, but my mom and my dad, they met in Guadalajara.
Okay.
They're not from Guadalajara. Mm-hmm. They met in Guadalajara. My mom is from Durango, la tierra de Pancho Villa.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
And my dad is from Michoacán.
Okay.
La tierra de las carnitas, de las guitarras, everything. And they met in Guadalajara.
Nice.
Which they were looking for a better place for their parents, for them.
Yeah.
The same way that my dad did when he came to San Jose.
Nice.
And they met there. We were born there. And then, I don't know, just with time, my dad was making shoes, but the piel, a mano. And I think it was just hard for him. And he said, you know what? I need to go over there. A ver qué hay.
A ver qué hay.
But in his mind, he didn't want to stay here. He just wanted to come for a moment and then go back.
Yeah.
But I don't know what happened, and now we're here. My younger brother, he was born in San Jose. All
right.
His name is Ricardo Luna, and all of us, we were just grew up in San Jose most of our life, and I think 93 was the year that everything just changed.
That was a changing point. That was a pivotal point of your life. You're 10 years old. You fall in love with art, seems like it, or you start getting exposed to the arts, and the journey begins. So what happens after that? Because the next thing is we're talking Lowrider Magazine, and that's huge, man.
Yeah, and that year, I think it was a popular Lowrider Arte Magazine.
Okay.
And also, I don't know, what was the other one, Street Low? No.
It was Street Low's been out.
The one had a lot of artwork. There was a Lowrider, and then there was another one. It was from San Jose, the magazine.
Okay.
But I don't know, I just, 93, I started drawing. My cousin, she was going to turn 15, and she said, Luna, Huicho, they call me Huicho. Like, really, like, close family, they call me Huicho.
Uh-huh.
And then from there is Luna, like, oh, the artist Luna. Because it's my last name, Luna.
Yeah.
And then my cousin, she's all like, hey, me puedes dibujar something for my quinceañera, like a sign with a number, letter, and everything. Yeah, I'll do that. I drew and everything. And then from there, I was just drawing more. You know, living on Story Road, the cruising, the Cinco de Mayo.
Well, that's where Lowrider began.
Yeah.
Cruising began Story and King. That's the true history of it. And then obviously the culture started building. L.A. picked it up, but really Story and King. And then obviously you got East L.A. and Whittier Boulevard and all that great stuff.
And hasta Japón ya está.
Yeah, and even in Japan, So, but so talk to us about your art and your development of that skill. How does that get into Lowrider Magazine?
I think it was just me with the passion about drawing and doing all my stuff on paper and just pencil and paper. That's all I had because I didn't have money to buy other stuff. My dad, I had to ask for my dad. Oh, I didn't ask. It was just something that I didn't want to ask. I was just, whatever I have, I'll work on it at school. I'll use brushes. I use whatever they gave me. But I think with the culture of Chicano and Mexican and living in Story Road, seeing the lowriders and friends and all that in school, I think I just picked up and I seen the Lowrider Magazine and I seen that you can enter to win a prize with your arte. And I said, you know, I'm going to try it.
Nice.
So then I entré a la high school. When I was in high school is when I entered a few of my drawings on Lowrider Arte Magazine. And I won like finalists, not the first or second or third, it was just finalists. Throughout the year, they'll pick three of each month. And at the end of the year, they'll choose the best one. I mean, I didn't get to get the first place, second or third, but I was finalist a few times. And I still have the magazines at the house. And I remember now I see them and I'm like, man, they look cool, but I think I can fix them a little bit. So I think that's how everything started with art now. Like I found that, I was able to touch hearts with what I do and people liking it. And with the magazine, I learned that I can achieve something more.
Do you do art on big canvases or just more small pieces and then, or it more translates to apparel?
I think I do a little bit of everything. I started like getting focused more burning on wood, which it was like little pieces of wood with names or little portraits on like keychains.
Mm.
And it was something that I always thought and learned that when you're an artist, you have to learn all the mediums. You have to, if somebody throws you a spray can or a brush or a pencil, as an artist, as a true artist, you have to like grab and see, okay, I haven't used this, but I know the principles of making a shade, making a line.
Right.
But you have to learn the material, the few minutes.
Yeah.
Once you learn that, then you can start putting your knowledge of art on that medium, like either a spray can, airbrush, tattooing, burning on wood and leather and everything. And I think that's how I started everything, working a little bit with all I had. At the beginning, it was just a pencil, a number two pencil, the classic one on paper. And, that looks so cool. But after that, there's so much stuff that I use that I try to teach myself to be able to do anything with anything that they throw at me.
That's right. I remember one of the biggest things that I wanted as a kid was I wanted a box set of either the colored pencils, or I wanted the 64 box of crayons, right? Yeah. Back in the day, right? To have that was like cool, right? Because you can paint, you can color anything. And growing up as a kid in the streets of LA, man, trust me, hice unos desmadres también, cabrón. I mean,
I can imagine.
Yeah, it was fun. And I learned to, instead of hitting up, you know, being a travieso and doing all the dumb shit that I did when I was a kid.
I mean, it's a relaxing process when you start drawing and anything, but at the beginning, you don't know what you're doing or what's happening, but you start learning certain stuff. Me, when I was in high school, I would just draw and draw. Like I said, I'll see the boxes of pencils that have from a light color to a dark color, and I'm like, man, those look so cool. But I mean, first you learn with the number two pencil, but then after you're like, let me try this. Once you try that, you see the difference a little bit in everything. And I think once you learn other stuff, you start like thinking, man, there's more to this. Yeah. This is not it.
Yeah. What's your favorite, form of art?
I think the
paintbrushes.
The one that I enjoy the most, and it's like you can do it on anything, it's airbrush.
Okay.
Why? Because airbrush, you can do it on paper, you can do it on the table, on the laptop, on your body, on a car, on a building, on an airplane, anything. And with the pencil, you can't do the same thing. I mean, you could. It just takes so long. On the wall with the pencil is just too much. But, I mean, I think airbrush has been the medium that has taken to the place where I'm at.
Got it.
Because especially how it creates art, it makes it look so different from where when you use a brush. A brush, you can see, like, hard lines and, like, some everything crispy. But with the airbrush, it makes it look kind of, like, dreamy look with the shading, the powder shade, everything. Yeah. It's just so cool. I mean, and also it's something that it was used back in the 80s when it started with airbrushing. Yeah. And I think it's so cool. And it's hard to use. I think maybe that's why not a lot of people use the airbrush. Right. It's just pencil or brush. Because airbrush, you have to have a sense How are you going to make lines, shade, and everything?
In the early 90s, like, you were still a kid, but you might remember, they used to airbrush the overalls and t-shirts. And for a minute, that was a big business, right? You wanted to get your name airbrushed on a t-shirt or some characters or some shit like that. So it was interesting to see that whole era of airbrushing.
Yeah, because like I said, I lived here in San Jose, and I went to, I would go to the Pulga like every Sunday with my parents, and I'll see the guys airbrushing. I'm like, man, that looks so cool. And one day I tell my dad, hey, Dad, can you buy me a shirt? Yeah, let's go. Okay. And I think it was like $45. And I bet he was like, chingado, ¿qué viene para acá?
He had to come through, man. You'll have to send us some of the samples of some of the art that you do, too.
Yeah.
So that way we can, while we're during the interview, we'll be able to drop some of the things that you talk about.
I'll probably shoot some the beginning stuff and now at the end stuff that we have done. And I mean, I have a lot of stuff to share.
I want to dive into. So Lowrider Magazine, you entered a contest. You didn't win any of the top places, but guess what? You still got in the game.
A few times, and you got recognized.
Row, yeah. You got recognized, and that's important, right? Because that gives you the hope and the motivation to keep going, right? If you can get on there,
it's like when you're little, you just draw and you don't know, like, you can sell your drawings. You just like, I just draw because I love it. And high school, a teacher was like, "Can I buy your picture, your drawing?" And I was like, "Man, is that, like, you can do that?" Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'll sell it to you. I think it was like $150, like a whole full 3 months of artwork. And I mean, $150 for me when I was 15.
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah.
Just give it to me. You're balling right there. You're like, yeah. Es un chingo de dinero, man. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
So I think you experience stuff that you know that whatever you do, there's more to it. You have to like think about it and be like, okay, so I'm drawing. People want it. They want to buy it. And right now it's just something for $150. Later is gonna get more, and it did. It did.
Do you have a website for your art?
It's the one from the store, Spirit Brothers, SJ. I think it's .myshopify.com.
I'm really curious. I want to dive into Spirit Brothers, man, because I want to really understand
how it came up.
How it came about, because I keep hearing Spirit Brothers and there's only one brother here. So I'm like,
yeah, it's just, it was just a big process. Like, but yeah, nice. we're four friends that opened the store.
I like that. When I'm starting to understand it, right? Let me ask you about that jumping the border, because no, man, it's my heart started racing right now. Like, I'm feeling that anxiety, right? That
I can explain detail by detail that you can feel it.
I want to, you know, for people that don't understand what it's like to be in another country and want to be in this country, one, it's what is the drive? What is, you know, you talked about it. Your dad obviously wanted a better life.
Yeah.
But you had to keep going back and you kept coming back. Yeah. Right? So obviously something kept driving you back. The last time, we'll just talk about that one time, the last time that you crossed the border, what does that feel like? Because that's a journey. You know, I mean, especially you're 500 plus miles, 600-700 miles from San Jose.
Yeah.
It's a lot of coordination. It's a thought process.
This about crossing the border is not something that you do from one day to the next one. For me, it was easier. I have heard so many stories about a full month of trying to cross the border, just sleeping on the hills, or I don't know. But mine was a
fucking
little bit
people
easier.
Die. Yeah, people die. Yeah. I mean, they from either exhaustion, or lack of food, lack of resources.
Yeah,
and shit happens out there, man.
Yeah, mine is a little bit not too scary, but still scary when you're little. Like I said, I crossed the border, I think, three times. One was with the papers of another kid when I was little. And then another one was like me trying to talk to the La Frontera in Inglés, where I'm going and everything. Also with the papers of another kid. And the last one was like, ya estaba mayor. So it was either te aventamos en una van, like inside of those vans, those Astro vans, the old school ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I crossed the last time. But I think it's just something that when you live in Guadalajara or any place in Mexico, you go to school, they don't give you papers. They don't give you pencils to do a project. They don't have AC. The floor is sometimes just dirt. Mm-hmm. You just carry your maleta, your mochila with your own lonche that your mom made you. And you just walk to the school. You don't want to take the car. You don't take the bus, nothing. You just walk through places that maybe they'll rob you, whatever, in Mexico, and places that it's like where I used to live. And it was just, I mean, when you live like that, you get used to it. You're like, you enjoy everything, playing with trompos, playing with canicas with your friends, and go to school and then come back.
The little thing, the littlest things that somebody would not think of, it's a treasure.
Yeah. Like before the school, you play canicas with your friends, and then, okay, vamos a la escuela, let's go and walk.
I used to love playing canicas with my boys. I used to fuck them all up.
Yeah.
I was like,
la bolsota.
Yeah. And then I used to pay pencils with them, you know, up their number two pencils.
Yeah. That childhood in the 80s, 90s, it was so great in Mexico. But like I said, when you're over there, there's nothing with like a luxurious for you. But once you cross the border, the fear of crossing the border and everything, and then getting here, not knowing English, not knowing everybody in there, and people would look different from you. You were like, I don't know, this guy looks different. La raza da. And then suddenly the teacher starts talking in English, and you're like, man, no sé qué está diciendo, pero está diciendo algo.
Right.
But I mean, when you're a kid, you learn English faster, but.
Yeah. Well, because your intentions and what you want, you're curious, right?
Yeah,
you
know? But I think throughout the process is the fear that you carry from leaving your house in Mexico to crossing the border and then going to school and staying there. The fear is always there, like every single day. On Friday was my best days when I was little, when I would go to elementary school. Because it was like, okay, no more school. So Saturday, we play with my cousins.
Yeah.
Sunday, we go to the park. And sometimes we go to Elm Rock Park.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, I was just like, the morning was cool when we go to the park, play, whatever, eat, lo que sea, carne asada with my family. And then once it started getting dark, I started feeling a pressure in my chest, like, man, tomorrow's school. and I have to get up, and I don't know, like, what they're going to ask me, the fear of not understanding.
Yeah.
And all that, and it was just the fear, like, because it's not the same when you're in Mexico. It's just a drastic change from one day to another. It's so much that your body's like, it will adapt. It will adapt, but it just takes so much time. If you're weak, you're going to stay with the fear. If you're strong, you're going to beat it and just continue going.
Yeah.
And that's
part of life, man.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, to think about going to school was challenging. If you can overcome crossing the border, doing what you did, that in itself is fear. But going to school and having it, not only that, but dealing with kids, yeah. You know, American kids, and then the kids that have, right?
Like, and, mojado, you know, yeah, no, yeah, like go back. And
trust me. I've, you know, even though I'm a lighter skinned Latino, I'm still Latino. And then all Latinos get hit as, oh, you're Mexican. I'm like, well, I didn't know the identity that I had yet, because I didn't, at that time when you're a kid, right? You feel shamed, yeah, and embarrassed, and you're like trying.
I even told my dad when I was little, I don't know, I was like 9, 10, like around that age. And I was like, Dad, how can I do, like, if I take a shower with milk, you think I'm going to lighten up my skin? Because of the fear, yeah, people in school. And I'm like,
right.
They'll look at you different. And I'm like, man. But, I mean, that changed so much. Now I'm proud of being the color I am, where I'm from. I was born now, what I'm doing. And I don't really regret, like, growing up where I was.
You were Lewis when you were going to school. Lewis. Hey, Lewis.
Ahora soy ese el pinche Luna.
Oh, yeah, man. So... So we move on. Obviously, you're getting older. There's the next pivotal point that, you know, part of this whole, I guess this is probably the beginning of now, the Spirit Brothers, is 2019, Tostadas, yeah, versus the Snoop Dogg story.
Yeah.
We got to hear about this. How does that all go down? And, you know, to me, I love Tostadas. I don't like the fact that they're not downtown right now.
Yeah.
So I hope that they get that place rebuilt and they're going to come out stronger than ever.
And now that we're there with the store, Spirit Brothers is like two doors down. All the businesses, they're like, there's not too much traffic there, because the Tostada was the place that will bring everybody.
Yeah, it was the anchor. No, that's what I'm telling you. Yeah, it was the anchor, yeah. So, I mean, 2-hour wait. I was like, what? And I'm like, but yeah, you're like, well, let's go to the other Tostada. And they're like, nah, we're already here. Yeah. So I'm waiting
for it. And I know they already showed me everything, how it's going to be, and it's going to be way better now.
Nice.
I've seen the plans, and I'm excited. Now I told them, you know what, Alex and Uwe, told them, hey, just give me a big wall so we can do some cool art.
Yeah.
Because the last one was little. There was some sections, but I told me, they said, yeah, we'll have a wall that just for the art. That way we can show it more in downtown. Because there's other locations for Tostadas that are blasted with the art, but this...
Do you do the arts on the other ones?
Yeah.
Because I've seen the one on San Carlos.
Yeah, that one.
And they
too
have a whole big old mural on one of the walls, and then they have another by the bar and all,
yeah,
that other
the
stuff.
The restrooms, so, and yeah, yeah. Tostadas Campbell, the one in San Carlos, and then also in Santa Clara County.
Man, those guys blew,
yeah,
up, man.
Yeah,
those,
man,
guys blew
their
up.
Their story is cool too. I can't say anything that, yeah, much, because maybe I'll say something wrong, but they have all their story, and also is inspiring.
Got it. So, yeah, let's talk about this 2019 Tostadas versus Snoop Dogg. What's that all about? I'm a big fan of Snoop Dogg, and that's,
I know,
my boy.
Yeah,
fucking,
yeah.
I'm going to be seeing him actually this coming next week when I'm down in LA. I'm going to a golf tournament.
If you see him, tell him, hey, I heard you got this car airbrushed by somebody, but I met this other person that was going to do it, but something happened. He never did it. He'll know.
Okay.
But I think everything starts, I think, with manifesting. Because before all this, a year or 2 years, I have a cool friend in Modesto. That he said, hey, bro, you should do something for Snoop Dogg. That way he can promote your stuff and all that. Like, airbrush your shoes or a shirt, give it to him, and just let it promote. And that way you can get known more. Now, I was like, yeah, that's cool. That was it. We'll hang around. And the days, months passed by. And then I was like, man, I need to be more focused in San Jose. Because I live in San Jose, but I moved to Modesto after I graduated high school. And then I came back with my art to San Jose back and forth since 2019. But my friends, like, I told him, you know what? I think I'm going to focus a lot more in San Jose. I'm going to try to do, like, pop-ups with my merch, with my art and everything here and there. I started doing that. My first events were in L.A. I will do most events in L.A.
Yeah, what part of L.A.?
What was it? On the east side,
mm-hmm,
L.A. by Mariachi Plaza, something, Mariachi.
Mm.
They have a plaza for Mariachi.
Oh, okay, La Placita, I think it's, yeah, there's
La Placita Olvera, and then, okay, also there's a plaza on, I forgot the
Olivera Street?
No, it was a different location. It was on the east side of Los Angeles.
Okay.
So I started my events there, but I told my friend, you know what, I need to focus in San Jose. That's where I grew up. I lived most of my life. I have my friends there. So that's what I did, and I don't know, I started doing events here and there. I met people here in San Jose more through the events. And I will go back to Modesto, do my thing, and then come back to events. And then somebody that I met at an event, he shoot me a flyer or a post from Tostadas. They were on a muralist
mm-hmm.
in 2019. But at the same time, since I airbrushed so many years, I got into airbrushing to lowrider, the lowrider community,
yeah.
car clubs in Modesto and other cities. But this guy, he met me, airbrushed his Mustang with something small. And then he also has a body shop. So he messaged me, hey, Luna, I'm back. I want to do a project with you. I was like, yeah, just let me know what is it. I want you to airbrush a Snoop Dogg's car that he's going to build here. And he wanted to build a car in the Bay Area
yeah.
with everything that's for Bay Area, like the system, the wheels, the paint job, the murals, everything has to be Bay Area. He wanted yeah. this car. Forgot what kind of car, but when I said it, I was like, oh, damn. I'm like, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
So he told me the idea. He said he wants...
Do you have pictures of the lowrider that you painted for or airbrushed for Snoop Dogg?
No. The one, I did an airbrush one. It was more like I airbrushed this car for this other guy.
Got it.
That has a body shop that I think Snoop Dogg got in contacto con él.
Got it.
So then I think someone told me, hey, I need somebody to do the murals. Do you have somebody? And I think he showed him my murals and yeah. everything. So I will go through him first.
Yeah.
And he said Snoop Dogg wants just him with Kobe Bryant, like maybe chilling or playing basketball with the crowd behind. Maybe you can add Tupac, Eazy-E, like people around him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'll do that. I'll make a sketch. That way we can.
And this is all same. In 2019?
Yeah, 2019.
You know, actually, that car got published.
Yeah.
It did.
It was a yellow.
He has
two. He had one before, but he made another one.
Right. I've seen that. The yellow one, I saw that with the airbrush, and it had the Kobe Bryant, yeah. and it had Eazy-E,
yeah.
people that had passed away.
Yeah.
That you did that?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No. he has two. He has one, yeah. and I seen it before.
But I seen that yellow one.
And then
one.
He built another one. I think it was I don't know if both are yellow. I don't know, purple mm-hmm. and yellow. But the second one, they wanted me to airbrush it.
Nice.
We were back and forth. I did the sketches with Snoop Dogg and Kobe Bryant, everything behind how he wanted. But it was just not getting to the point that he liked it. He said, no, he doesn't want this. He wants something more like this. I was like, okay. So I did like three or four sketches, and none were like to his agrado.
Yeah.
So like, okay, you know what? Let me take a little break, and that's yeah. it. So I took a little break. It was a week, and then at the same time of that break is when I got the message from Tostadas.
Huh.
Not from Tostadas, from my friend that forwarded me the story about they wanted a mural. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna shoot him a message, Tostadas. So I sent a message to their page. And Alex, one of the owners, messaged me back, like, yeah, just come by and check out the place. So I did. I went by, checked out the place, and I was like, okay, look, they wanted this and that. And then at the same time, I was working on the last sketch for Snoop Dogg's car, and then I just sent in there, like, oh, they told me, oh, bro, we already finished it. It's done. We found somebody new. You took too long, and I mean, I'm sorry, but it's already done. And I'm like, yeah, don't worry. I mean, it's fine. I mean,
it is what it is.
It had a pain in my heart because I missed that opportunity. But it's crazy that how everything happened. And like I said, you put everything to the universe to where you want to go. And I think the universe said, you know what? Tostadas is going to be your way. Snoop Dogg can come maybe later.
Maybe later.
Because yeah. he might find you. But Tostadas right now is the point because is when they were starting,
yeah.
and I was starting too with the murals. That was my very first restaurant mural, Tostadas in San Carlos, the one that has all the murals.
Yeah.
And that happened, and I was like, man, at the beginning, I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to do here in San Jose, the mural and everything.
Yeah.
But after a while, I was like, maybe there was a reason why the mural for Snoop Dogg's car never happened, because Tostadas was a different path for me.
Got it.
For
yeah.
the future.
Well, I mean, it opened up a bunch of other doors. It allowed you also to create a network, right? And then yeah. now you guys are recognized, or you call yourselves the Spirit Brothers, right? I
yeah.
mean, that's part of the... Seems like that's how it's all coming together, and that's how the story goes now.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so...
Like I said, I think if I would have been with Snoop Dogg, and maybe Tostadas might have found me like down the year, but it would have been different. Like maybe they would have found a different artist. And I would just go and go by and see the place and be like, oh, I can draw too. But they would be like, no, we have our own artist. But I mean, everything happened the way it happened. And now I'm there. And now we just opened the store, Spirit Brothers, with them.
And the Spirit Brothers, again, just to confirm, it has art, clothing, apparel, yeah. different stuff. And it's on Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose?
Downtown 7 and 10. I mean, 7 Santa Carla.
Okay, yeah. Good. I'm going to have to stop by, check it out, you know, and come see what you got, come support the cause. These opportunities that happen, I mean, obviously it opened up other doors. I mean, you're working now with the earthquakes, right?
Yeah, I did a few projects for them. The first one, it was last year. It was for the Mexican Heritage Month. Mm-hmm. So they sent me an email through Local Colors, which is an organization for people, for artists here in San Jose locally, and also Dovi, La Compañía Dovi.
Dovi.
They were involved. Everybody, and then Quakes were the place where everything was going to be made and be projected through their social media, their posts, everything, and I did that collaboration with them. It was a big process of 4 or 5 months. And between all that, I was also busy doing murals through other restaurants throughout those months. But I got it done. It's cool. It was for the Mexican Heritage Month. And
What'd you end up doing for them?
I think I was just trying to do something that reflect a little bit of the full culture of Mexico. Mm-hmm. Of course, I couldn't put everything on it. I added a little bit of a Azteca to the design, a little bit of the Mexican eagle in the middle, some patterns of a sarape. Mm-hmm. Also, Dia de los Muertos, I added the flower, cempasúchil.
Nice.
And once you see it, you know it has a little bit of the culture of Mexico. And that's what I did. And it's they gave me the opportunity to create that and showcase it and give out a poster at the game of last year against LA.
Nice, okay.
Quakes against LA at the Levi Stadium.
Nice.
And then after that, I did the mural here. It's on San Carlos and First Street. I think it's on West Bank Building.
Oh, yeah.
Like a yellow color.
Yeah.
And it's about 10 feet by 10. And it's not that big, but when you walk in front of it, it's really colorful.
Right. Which on what side of the street? Because I know the building where those are our partners. Hey, West Bank.
It's I think to the side where there's
all the little mini murals.
No, the other side. Yeah.
Okay.
From those mini murals to the other side.
Okay.
It's on San Carlos Street.
Got it. Okay, I know exactly where that's at. And which mural is that? Is there a couple of murals on that? Because I know that whole building got muraled up.
Yeah, that one only on my side. It's only mine. And then on the main entrance, it's a big one that's like the full.
That is.
Yeah, when I seen it, I'm like, I don't know who did it, but
yeah,
to get all those straight lines from one corner all the way to the other side, like to get them straight, you have to run and make that line.
Yeah.
You cannot just go like little by little. It will show.
Yeah.
Like, it would be just crooked. But
no, that's a work of art.
Yeah. And I looked at it and I was like, man, one day I'll do something like that. And it's getting there little by little.
Good. Well, man, hey, the doors keep opening. I mean, obviously you got earthquakes under your belt. You got Con Azúcar under your belt. You're doing stuff with them.
Yeah.
Something about, you know, I think that something that's coming up, you got a Hawaii trip.
Me and Tostadas, we partnered up with me being their artist with all their restaurants.
Right.
So every restaurant they open, they want me to do the mural. So everything looks the same with the same style. And then since they partner up also with Con Azúcar, now Con Azúcar is blowing up.
Yeah, I heard there's three stores now.
Yeah,
or?
There's three.
There's two or there's three?
There's three.
We were just talking about it today on one of our meetings, Con Azúcar. So.
The grand opening of the third one was this Sunday.
Okay.
It's on Tropicana.
Yeah.
Inside of Michoacana Plus.
Yeah. So is it actually inside? Is it like a co-brand with both of them?
It's inside. It's just divided in half. And it fits perfect. I thought it was going to be too crowded, but no, it fits perfect. Once you go to the side of Con Azúcar, you see the vibe of all the other restaurants. It doesn't feel like it's like off. It just feels, that corner just feels like it's Con Azúcar with the artwork, the displays they use, everything. And since they're like expanding, they have one coming up in Hawaii. They just posted it and I'm like, man, so I need to get ready.
Damn. All right. Good for them, man. I like to keep an eye on all my businesses, but no, that's pretty badass. Couple of things too. I mean, we talked about you coming over here, obviously, and your parents immigrating over here. You're also a recipient of DACA, huh?
Yeah.
So that must have been a big relief, right? Because DACA, and DACA is one of those kind of weird still situations, right?
Yeah, it's like depends on the.
Yeah, sometimes you're in or you're out, no se sabe, but you know at least they legitimize things to allow you to walk in peace, yeah. So that you're not fucking harassed.
I think DACA helped a lot because before that, I'll have my matricula consular from Mexico,
right?
But when I was like 21 or 22, I didn't have a DACA, so I'll go to the store try to buy beer. They'd be like, oh, we don't take that. We
right. They thought it was fake and stuff,
and I'm like,
you know?
Man, what I need to do? I'm like, man, I'm just going to go to the place where they don't ask my ID. And,
right.
And that way I don't get embarrassed.
Right.
Be like, where's your ID? I'm like, I'll show my Mexico one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now with DACA, it's just different. They give me an opportunity to be more safe. Even when you drive, I mean, even before, I'll just drive without a license and just thinking, like, sweating and be like, I hope they don't stop me. No, they didn't. They never stopped. Well, once, but they took the car, so I had to get it back. But I you know what? La necesidad will make you keep driving again. You need to drive. You
necessity have is the mother of invention.
You have a car and a cell phone here in the United States to be able to communicate and just move yourself around.
Obviously, with all these different challenges in your life, the entrepreneurial spirit has been in you. I mean, obviously, you've turned your talents into a business.
Yeah.
Where do you find that entrepreneurial spirit was awoken?
I think since the beginning, my dad, he will make shoes, the leather shoes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just from scratch, he will get the sheet of leather. He will cut the design, cut it, put it on this wood shoe,
mm-hmm.
put it on and do the stitches, whatever it needs. And then he start mounting the leather to this, la suela, ¿cómo mm-hmm. se en inglés?
The sole. The
sole, yeah.
Yeah, the sole.
And I'll see him do that, all that, and he will do his boxes and everything, and I'll have him do certain stuff. He'll take him to the place where we had to sell him in el bus. Yeah, in Mexico, no teníamos carros. It was just work, take it to go on the bus to the downtown Guadalajara and then come back. And I was like, man, I mean, it was cool. I liked it. And I think when you're little and you see stuff like that, you're like, man, that was cool what my dad did. And now you're just doing it like out of, I don't know, si tu conciencia te dice, ¿sabes qué tú hacías? You can do this too. Like,
right.
You can start doing it. And also the struggle that you have all your life makes you think like, you know what? I'm going to do something different. Like,
yeah.
I already know what it's to be broke. I need to know what it is to be successful now.
Yeah.
And since then, all that, I started doing all my stuff, drawing. And then I've been following a lot of people that are like motivation speakers, ¿cómo se dice? Speakers.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And todos dicen lo mismo. They say, man, you just need to keep going. Don't give up. If you have something, just use it and try to like do your stuff. Don't try to follow whoever's being successful because if they're doing this. Don't do that. Just follow your heart.
Do your heart, yeah.
And I saw this movie called Tales from the Bronx or Bronx Tales.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bronx Tales, yeah.
And
great movie.
I was watching it and I heard this little clip that the guy Sonny said, oh no, is it Sonny or his dad of ¿cómo se llama? Sí, that he said, the saddest thing is life is wasted talent.
That hits deep, huh?
Yeah, and I was like, man, I have this talent. The saddest thing in life is wasted talent.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have the talent, so I need to like take it to the next different level. And all that helped me to just continue doing all my stuff, and now I'm here.
Good, man. Well, let me ask you, I know because we haven't talked about it, but any other siblings? Any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have
a... We forgot about them. We talked about everybody except your brothers and sisters.
I have an older brother, and then the third is my sister,
mm-hmm.
and then a younger brother. He was the one that was born in San Jose.
Okay.
My sister and my younger brother, they draw too. They were little, like, my younger brother, when I was 10, he was just barely naciendo. Mm-hmm. My sister, she's like 2 years or 3 years younger. So they saw me drawing and all that. I think they got inspired. They also draw too. They draw really good.
Nice. Yeah, and is their stuff, do you sell their stuff? Do they sell their stuff too? Or
my sister, she started like, I think 2 years ago also. I tried to like tell her, push her, like, you need to do this. You have the talent, you have the skills, you have to continue in doing it. And my younger brother, he does it, but I think he has a different vision.
Mm-hmm.
But all of them, they all draw. They're really good at it.
How do you define, because you said something right now, success. You understood what it was to not have money, and you said you wanted to find out what success was like. What is the success, your definition of success? How do you describe success?
I describe it as...
And it doesn't... For me, it doesn't have to be money. It just... No. What is your definition of success?
I mean, success is to be able to do something that even if they don't pay you, that you still do, and you enjoy so much that you do so good that one day you don't ask for the money, the money will come to you.
Ooh,
that's when the success is like, it's on you.
You're yeah.
Like, I got it. I'm not like searching for it. I'm not running to it. It's coming to me. Once you have that coming to you, you have the success on you. You can do anything that you want.
And what's your ultimate, your dream? What's the big dream in you that you have? I mean, what is that dream? How would you describe it? What's the ultimate goal that you wish to accomplish, right? Because once you get to that point, you'll realize there's more, right? But yeah. What right now, what is that biggest dream that you
I
have?
I think most of people will think like, my dream is to just open a store, another store, have a lowrider fixed and everything, have this, have that. But I think the dream is more to really share what you do and be in and see that other people are doing the same thing now. Like kind of like inspire other people. That's the dream, to really inspire other kids and do something bigger. Because, I mean, you can do a lot of things. You can open a store and be successful or have that and be happy. But once you open it, I think that happiness goes away a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. like it's there now, and now I have to work. And now what I do is yeah. just like...
Now you got to work it. So that's why I just said, I mentioned to you, it's when you get to that point, right, of a goal,
yeah.
once you reach it, it's what's next,
yeah.
right? And I've been there many times, and I remember my first million that I made, I was like...
No, what's next?
what's next? And I was like, first $1 million deal, I was like, yeah. okay, what's next? I want another $1 million deal, yeah. or I want to continue to grow, and then it becomes a high, right? Yeah. It's like a like,
yeah.
right? Every time you get a like, you're like, yeah. Dopamine kicks in. You
I
know?
Heard all so, this. Like, there's a, like I said, I follow a lot of people that motivate.
Who's your favorite motivation speaker?
I think the one that really helped me to push me in 2019, it was Randall Pitch.
Okay.
You know him?
No, I haven't.
He's also, he's a son of immigrants from, I think, he's Cambodian.
Okay.
So he started doing his thing to the gym. He will go to the gym. He
has Randall his own Pitch.
Gym. Randall Pitch. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to look him up.
He started doing that, being a trainer, doing his stuff at the gym. But then he said, you know what? I need to make money in a different way. He started printing shirts, selling it at the gyms out of his trunk. That's yeah. how I seen so many YouTube videos of him. And I was like, man, it's crazy. Just like... I seen myself in him as an immigrant also, and I'm like, he can do this, I can do it too. Everything he was saying, it was like, it got to me, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to do my brand. And I think after I seen one of his videos on YouTube, I opened my website. I was like in bed, and I was like, I don't know how this works, but I'm just going to search. So I went on the internet, and then I was like, okay, click here, click over here. After 20 minutes, my website was already running, and it was there, yeah. And I was like, okay. And since then, it was like I started doing more research about how to be successful, follow people on Instagram. There's a Bedros Koulian. I think that's his last name, Bedros Koulian. He's also mm-hmm. also an immigrant. He owns a body fit boot camp, something okay. like that, another gym. There's more. There's a lot of people. David Gooney, something like
David
that.
David Goggins?
Goggins, yeah. yeah Goggins. No, he's a savage.
Yeah, yeah, he's one of my favorites. So.
And now at the gym, all I do is put my motivational videos on YouTube and just start working out and listening to what they say.
Yeah. It's the more you get deep into it.
Yeah.
yeah.
The more you hear it, you're like, okay. And next time I'll be lacking on doing something, I'll hear my boys thinking, remember that video when he said, just don't give up, but just do one more rep, do 100 burpees every day.
That's a lot. It's a rewiring yourself yeah. is basically what we're doing, right? I mean, we grow up with all these different traumas. Right? Yeah. These experiences, let's call them experiences, but really they're not good experiences. They become traumas in our life. And they either they weigh us down, right? Yeah. Or they catapult you.
Or push you, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So they become rocky fuel, I call them. And for me, I've been able to see and experience that a lot of the past growing up, whether it was, it was rough, I use that as my energy to catapult me, right? Yeah. But along the way, I never healed from it, so it becomes trauma.
Yeah.
And then we find other reasons, other things, right, vices, to kind of numb those emotions because we never really deal with them, right? Art may be one of the ways that you have transcended, right?
Yeah.
And have had
healed or,
healed therapy. Yeah. You know, for me, it's I wrote my first book, Smoke and Mirrors, and that was a lot of therapeutic for me because I actually talked about, I relived a lot of the traumas, a lot of the experiences in life, whether they were, well, the bad ones and then the good ones. The good ones are the ones that give me the excitement, yeah. right? So you got a lot of great things that are happening, and you got a great story that you've shared so far because, again, you're an immigrant, right? You come over to the U.S., things trigger you, you see more in life, but you still go back a few times, but you know that now Mexico is not home for you.
Yeah, it still is in my heart, but...
Right.
But what we're doing is just different.
Right.
I mean, maybe one day I'll open a store in Guadalajara.
California is Mexico, bro. Todavía, yeah. You know, at the end of the day, yeah. It's all, you know, it just depends.
La Tropicana.
Right. but along the way, though, you've been able to develop and you've built that entrepreneurial spirit. You've also surrounded yourself with some real good people. I mean, again... Spirit Brothers comes together because there's four of you guys, and I can see where it's the word spirit just kind of is in espíritu estamos todos juntos, right? Yeah. We're all together in spirit.
But
right?
The name, it's funny because I mean, I don't know if I should say or not, but I think I should say because it was already made.
Yeah.
But how the name came up for the store, it was just something that happened, and it just happened.
Yeah. Yeah, it just clicked. For whatever reason, whatever happened in that moment, it just clicked for you, man.
And it stayed there. Yeah.
Let me ask you. Obviously, you got some bigger goals. I know that you have some people that you want to work with. Who are some of the guys or groups that you want to work with? I know they had mentioned the Sharks. You had interest in working with the Sharks.
I think all my life, when you're from San Jose, you know it's all about the Teal, the Sharks, and all that San Jose Sharks. Even though they lose, you still rep the Sharks because that represents San Jose. For us, it represents more San Jose than the team, even though they lose right now.
Yeah.
It was a really bad season. And I see people like wearing Sharks, and I'm like, I know why they wear it. It's not just because they're losing so much that they want to wear the shirt and support.
Yeah, they're just proud.
They're just proud about San Jose.
Yeah.
Like if you tell people, somebody, oh, let me show you this Teal and a Shark. Tell me what city is that from. They're going to be like, San Jose.
San Jose.
Yeah. And if they show you orange, there's so many teams that have orange.
Yeah.
But Teal, I think, is one of the teams that has San Jose, has the Sharks.
Have you ever submitted anything? Have you ever done like an art piece with the Sharks on it or anything?
No,
like that?
No. I think my dream was always try to like collab with them. The first ones was the Earthquakes when I did the collaboration with them. But the people that are also in contact with Earthquakes are also in contact with the Sharks.
Sharks, yeah.
So, I mean, I told him, you know what? Whenever there's an opportunity and you need somebody, shoot my name that side too. Yeah. So see what can happen.
Let's create something. Let's say I have relationships with the Sharks. I got very close relationships with the some executives over there. Let's work on a project. Let's kind of see where this thing goes, right? We'll put the intention, right? Mm-hmm. La intención. La vamos a poner en el universo.
Yeah.
Come up with something. Come up with a concept. I mean, obviously, you want to put that Latino flavor or that, let's call it Mexican or Latino heritage. Or Hispanic, whichever word anyone feels comfortable with. Put something together. I think that, I mean, I've seen other groups do collaborations. I've seen that one. Is it Cucuy or?
I think, yeah.
Cucuy. Yeah. Cucuy. They did a collaboration. They did a cool-ass shark, man. Yeah. I was like.
Yeah. Also, another friend, they did a mural for this video shoot for the Sharks. His name is, I think it's Reyes, Reyes Muertos. He's also an artist from San Jose.
All right.
And I seen all that. I'm like, man, I know my turn is not yet. Mi turno no es ahorita, but it's going to
be. You never know.
Closer.
It might be today. We might have just gotten a step closer, but you got to submit something, right? Or you got to give me the tools so that I can forward it to the proper people and say, hey, listen, guys, if you guys are ever doing anything to, you know, honor the Latino culture, here's a local artist.
Yeah, they do that also the Mexican Heritage Month too.
Yeah.
So maybe one day we'll be there.
Let's make it happen, man. Let's put that in the universe and see how we can help each other out, right? I mean, if that's what it's about.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the intention here. One, we want to talk about business, we want to talk about entrepreneurship, we want to talk about the arts and the culture. And then ultimately is how do we help each other, you know, lift each other, right? There's too many out there that are, there's too much negative out there that we don't need to add to it. I'd rather bring the positive.
Yeah, like they said, you have to aspire to inspire.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And that's part of how it's funny because one of the groups that I'm working with is called the Aspire Tour.
Oh.
And they bring a lot of great people that aspire, right, to inspire people to continue to grow and do big things in life. So, but yeah, really quick, you got a website?
It's Spirit Brothers SJ. myshopify.com.
What's your IG so that I know we're going to post it, but just, you know.
Yeah, my personal one is artesluna_.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit Brothers. I'm barely learning that one because it's kind of long. It sounds SJ. Spirit Brothers SJ.
Okay.
Yeah, Spirit Brothers SJ.
Perfect. And then, so yeah, I saw that. And then last, un consejo, man. Some advice. I mean, you've thrown out some good nuggets out here tonight. What are some of the things? What would you really... What do you want to say to the world? What do you want them inspire them?
I think something that I can say is fear will kill your dreams. Fear will kill anything.
Mm-hmm.
Fear killed so much of me when I was a kid. But once you beat that fear and be like, you know what? I'm going to knock this guy down. His name is Fear. Now what's next? Now it's open. There's... a space open for me to continue going.
That's right.
And I think that's one thing that a lot of us, we have a fear of doing anything, talking in English, being in public. Me, I was a shy guy, or a shy boy when I was in school. I was the last one to do presentations.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, hey, Luna, do you want to do this interview? Yeah. You want to come on TV for this mural that you did? Yeah, I'll be there. I'll go with the fear, but at the end, I will beat that fear because I will be there. I will be talking and I'll come out and be like, okay, I did it. Now what's next? I think the fear and then also just to follow your heart, follow your dreams. Don't listen to nobody. If you're good at doing cupcakes and your mom tells you, oh, you're not going to make a living doing cupcakes, don't listen. If you really enjoy how you do it, there's people that I'll pay $1 million to just get cupcakes from you.
Yeah.
It's not
crazy
easy.
How you just said even your if it's your own mother.
Mother, yeah.
If your own mother, you got to cut that toxicity.
Your husband, your anything. Wife, your brother, the closest person that you have in your life, and if they tell you don't draw, it's not going to get you nowhere. Because I had people telling me, you're never going to be successful, Luna. You can't do this. You cannot live off selling stickers and hats and patches. You cannot live off that. You cannot pay rent. You cannot do that. Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah? Let me show you.
So, yeah, I think my consejo is just follow your heart, follow your dream, follow what you really love to do. Do what you love and love what you do. It will take you far, even though the whole world's against that idea. But in your heart, you feel so refreshed, so free that you do it so good that you're willing to do it for free. And of course... que todos tus bills estén pagados, but if you do it for free, every
gotta
single
take
day,
care of the bills.
But if your bills are paid and everything and you do it for free and you enjoy so much, that's something that you have to focus on doing and just don't listen to no, just listen to your heart, your mind, and keep doing it.
Yeah.
No, even though if you don't have papers, you can thaw it.
Right. You know what? I know a lot of successful people that have come to this country with no papers and have created very successful businesses, and eventually they use that as part of their getting papers and becoming a part of the world here, right? The universe here. There's, those are just excuses. I have a saying that goes, nothing or no one will get in the way of my success, meaning nothing, no situation, no nothing, right? Having no papers, that doesn't get in the way of my success. No one, meaning... not even my parents, my family, a close one, anybody, nobody.
The only one that will stop you is just yourself.
That's it.
That's the only person you have to worry about.
You versus you. You're your own worst enemy at times. And at the end of the day, what people say about you or anyone else doesn't validate who we are. So, and I share that, and it's a very common thing in the people that we talk to in business. At the end of the day, we don't give a shit what anybody says about us. We got to keep moving forward because at the end of the day, the only person that's going to look out for us is us, right? In that mindset. But when you also surround yourself by great people and you have a great team, that energy and that mindset also starts to flow and then you start creating more impact.
Como dicen, júntate con los lobos y aprenderás a huyar.
Uh-huh. That's right.
How you say in English?
Well, the translation of that would be, you know, surround yourself with wolves and you'll learn to howl. Yeah. So yeah, no, good one, man. Well, yeah. I want to thank you, my brother, for being here today with us. Oh. It is an honor. You're going to have to go back to your boys and say, hey, se la, you guys missed out, dog. They're going to have to watch it now. Now they're going to want to be on the show, and we're going to be like,
I mean, I know there's going to be more opportunities.
Absolutely.
They all have their own story.
Yeah.
I cannot say much about them, but the story behind Tostadas and the guys and Brendan, we all have DACA. We're all the same. We started from the same country, same place. Everything that happened to them also kind of happened to me. And now, I get inspired by them because they're doing so much stuff. And I'm like, me estoy juntando con los lobos so I can aprender a huyar.
That's right.
So, and I told them, I'm learning from you guys, and I think I'm in the right path. And like, once you put it out to the universe and you focus on yourself and believe in yourself and just continue doing your thing, just be more disciplined. And le sigues y llegas lejos.
Well, I appreciate those guys. I actually love what they've done. Love what all you guys have done collectively. And I wish nothing but success for you and the entire crew. And if anybody ever comes to San Jose, make sure to visit a Tostadas. You can Google it or Yelp it. You'll find it. Their food's off the hook. I mean, after three tacos, bro, I'm ready to hit the bed. And
una michelada.
Una, my favorite there is their aguas chiles.
Aguachile,
Oh, man. It's
the first time I tried Tostadas, it was when I went to talk to Alex about the murals. And he was like, hey, Luna, you want a birria burger? That's our signature plate here. I'm like, never heard of it. Let me try it. So their story behind all that, it's cool that they should talk about that. But I said, I'll get the birria burger, and it was big. And he's like, I'm going to bring you a mega michelada. I was full. The mega michelada, it was the caguama on a michelada. And there I'm like, go. Oh, man. It was good.
It's like 5,000 calories.
I know,
there.
Fucking, that's like 200 burpees or a million burpees.
it's a fucking day on the bed for me, bro. Anyway, man. Hey, again, thank you so much. Anyway, my brother, thank you so much for everything. Congratulations. Good luck with all your dreams, big dreams. We're here to support, my brother, let's make it happen.
Mauricio Mejia Live.